So, Acts chapter 2.
So, this is the account of Pentecost. So, I'm going to read just the first 21 verses. And then I'm going to be using more than just these 21 verses when I speak, but I'll refer you to those verses as I go through. So, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. We thank God for this reading. And as always, our prayer is that the written word that we read might become to us the living word of God that will transform our lives. So in these last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the Holy Spirit, on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And today, reflecting, finding our way. And I began last week really on this theme of talking about prayer and hinting or saying we're going to look at scripture and being together, recognizing that, you know, as Evesham Baptist Church, there is the opportunity for us to make, in a sense, a new beginning. If you're anything like me, these last 2 years have been odd at best. They've been weird. March 2020, we had to stop meeting altogether. We went online for our meetings, videos and all sorts of things. And it was very, I love the word discombobulating. It was very discombobulating in lots of ways. It was over a year ago, we began meeting back together again and we were all wearing masks and so on. And we've steadily made our journey of getting used in so many ways to meeting together. And yet we acknowledge that church in, wow, it's August 2022 is not the same as church was in March 2020. Things have changed in the meantime. And there is an opportunity for us to find a new way forwards, to restate what our values are, to ask questions about how we should move forwards together. And last week I shared about prayer and read some verses from the beginning of Acts as these disciples of Jesus awaited the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the one thing that they did, the one thing that they were devoted to, we were told, is prayer. It was almost as if they were saying, we haven't got a clue what to do. We don't know where to turn. We've never been here before. We've never done this before. What should we do? Pray. And that's always a good answer, you know, when we don't know what to do, to pray, to turn to God, and to acknowledge that sometimes our prayer is just sitting in the presence of God. Sometimes our prayer is coming to God with all of our concerns and our worries and sometimes our celebrations and our joys. Sometimes we pray in spite of how we feel. Sometimes we pray defiantly because it feels like everything around us is going in a different direction, but we don't want to follow the crowd. And so we pray because we want to follow God. But within this, there is a sense of we don't know really how to progress. We've never been this way before. And so we will pray together. And this week, I'm going to share about scripture, about the Bible. And how we might use it together as we find our way forwards. And I'm simply going to reflect on, again, the experience of the disciples. Jesus has left the disciples, been exalted to heaven, and they're awaiting the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And simply, I'm going to make a few reflections on how Scripture was central to them finding their way forwards. And then the third part of the trilogy. It sounds good, doesn't it? Having a trilogy. I think it does. The third part of the trilogy is to reflect on togetherness. So these three things as that early group of disciples began to figure out together, how do we make our journey forwards? We pray, we have scripture at the centre, and we do it together. And I put just a couple of words here. Holy Spirit and hope. In my experience, particularly in those circumstances where we do not know what to do, and we don't know how to make our way forward because we have perhaps no experience of making a particular journey before or how to navigate a particular experience. And we pray that God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon us. So often, certainly in my experience, so often the answer to that prayer that God would pour out his Holy Spirit on me, I don't get specific answers. Do this and then do that and then do the other. You know, a straightforward, easy answer. So often what I receive is a sense of hope. It's a sense of hope. I don't know where I'm going, but it's okay. I don't know the answer to my circumstance, but it's okay. And the Holy Spirit gives hope to us, even though we're not sure how to progress. And so, scripture, our priority. The first thing I want to highlight from these opening couple of chapters, really, in the book of Acts, is what the priority is. And you might say, well, hang on, you know, isn't the whole of the Bible important? And yes, the whole of the Bible is important, but there is a priority as we read the Bible. And the priority as we read the Bible is the teaching of Jesus. The high point of Scripture is the teaching and words of Jesus. I don't know about you, but in some Bibles, I've noted, I haven't got a Bible like this myself, but in some Bibles, the words of Jesus are written in red. Have you come across this, some of you? And I suppose it's a great thing when you read the Gospels and you're reading through, you can immediately see the words of Jesus. And there's actually a group called Red Letter Christians. I don't know if you've heard of Red Letter Christians, but they are based in the United States. And it's a group that has arisen up really out of frustration for what they see so-called Christians doing in the name of Christ. And they say, well, you know, you can act however you want to act, but we are going to follow Jesus. And they say, we're going to follow the red letters in the Bible, the word, the teaching and the sayings of Jesus, which is a lovely thing. And in my experience, the priority as we read the Bible is the teaching of Jesus. When we need to immerse ourselves in the teaching of Jesus as we move ahead. Now, the book of Acts itself begins with these words. This is chapter 1 and the first couple of verses. It says this, in my former book, Theophilus. So this is Luke, the gospel writer, the guy who wrote Luke's gospel. He's writing to his friend, Theophilus, just as he wrote his gospel. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And I just highlight a couple of things here. Jesus, all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And then those three words, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. And I read this and I want to pause and say, I wonder what those instructions were. I wonder what it was that Jesus said to his disciples before he left them. And I think it sets the tone for us that we should always remember and focus upon the instructions of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the example of Jesus. That is to be central for us, both in our individual lives, but also in our life as a community together. And it may be that some of what these instructions are recorded in the next few verses. Now, priority, the teaching of Jesus, but I also note the promise of Jesus. And this is all really under the same heading. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus says, John baptized with water. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is key for those first disciples as they figure out the journey they are to take together, remembering the promises of Jesus. And so often, when we face a terrain in life that we've never experienced before, or we have that sense of we don't know how to make this journey, we go to the teaching of Jesus and we go to the promises of Jesus. Because the promises of Jesus stand forever. They never fail. And for the disciples in the midst of this, we don't know how to do this. Well, what did Jesus say? In a few days, you're going to be baptized. You're going to be immersed, saturated in the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus goes on to say, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Everything about you will communicate an advertisement for Jesus in the way that you live and all that you say. So the priority, as we think about Scripture being central for us, as we figure out the way ahead, the priority is Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, and indeed the life and example of Jesus. The second thing that I highlight as I read these first couple of chapters of Acts and reflect upon Scripture at the centre is this humble dependence on the Holy Spirit and Scripture. Now, the disciples, as they're talking to Jesus before he's ascended to heaven, they ask him some questions. And one of the questions is this. Questions about the kingdom of God. One of the questions is this. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's their question they ask of Jesus. They're talking about the kingdom of God. They are dreaming of a day when God will come and be their king, and God, as their king, will direct them, show them how to live, and if anybody steps out of line, God will bring them back into line, and everything will be just and good because God is reigning in his kingdom. So the disciples are yearning for this. And it may be that we yearn for the kingdom of God in our world, in amongst the chaos. Sometimes we feel that we're going through, both in our country and in our world. Lord, surely it's time for your kingdom to come, for you to come and make a difference. And I've highlighted their questions are something like, when will the kingdom come? When will or what will the kingdom be like? And how will you reign? And these are big questions from the disciples. They want things to be different. And just for us, it may be that reflecting upon either our lives as individuals, wherever we live and whatever our job is and our role is and so on, it may be that that's a bit of our prayer. You know, are you going to bring your kingdom? Are you going to be king in such a way that you just direct me? Bang, bang, bang. You know, 1, 2, 3. This is how to do it. That's what I want. It may be that for us all together, gathered as Evesham Baptist Church, that might be our prayer. God, is your kingdom going to come now? You're going to direct us and guide us super clearly so that we know. Just give us a checklist. Do this, do this, do this, straight off. And that's what they're asking, really, is in our language, give us a checklist. Bring your kingdom now. But Jesus' reply is this. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but then that verse, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses. Now I've highlighted, you see the line I've highlighted, it's not for you to know. You know, if you pray a passionate prayer, either for yourself or for others, or we pray it for the church, say, God, what should we do? We've never navigated this particular terrain before. We don't know how to live. I don't know what to do in my life, a decision to make, or whatever it is. It's not always consoling when God says, it's not for you to know. I want to know what happens next. It's not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And it is in this humble dependence on the Holy Spirit and Scripture, that we see with these first disciples, that we can take for ourselves and we can say, okay, We're not going to get all the answers up front from God. What do we have? Well, God has promised he will pour out the Holy Spirit upon us. And that is a promise forever. So let's pray that God will pour out his Holy Spirit. And what else do we have? Well, we do have the Bible. We do have Scripture. And so this humble dependence upon the Holy Spirit and Scripture. And maybe together we can find the way forwards. And it may be as individuals, that's what we need to hear. What's the way forward? Well, I know a good prayer to pray. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on me. Every day, just a repeated prayer. Pour out your Holy Spirit. And at the same time, reading the Bible. And sometimes we need to pray, even as we read the Bible. Sometimes we pray, certainly I've prayed, Lord, it's just words on a page. It's black type on white paper. I need you to bring this to life. I need this to be more than just words. I need it to be a living word, transformative word. I need it to impact me and to give me hope. And so there is the priority, which is Jesus. There is then this humble dependence on the Holy Spirit and Scripture. We're not going to get all the answers, but we're going to figure it out together. And so we have finding a way forwards. The early church, these early disciples, they referred to the Bible, they referred to Scripture when they chose new leaders. And we actually read this passage last week. One of the 12 disciples that had been chosen by Jesus, one of them by the name of Judas Iscariot, had betrayed Jesus and left them. And so Peter stands up with the other disciples and say, okay, we've got to replace Judas. There has to be 12 of us. So we've got to replace him. And what Peter does, he quotes from a couple of Psalms and then says, this is the way forward. And as I read Peter doing this, what I read is Peter saying, do you know, I'm not sure how to do this. I'm not sure what we should be doing. I'm pretty sure we should replace Judas. But there are these couple of verses in these Psalms. So he quotes from Psalm 69. May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. That's a reference to Judas. And then he quotes from Psalm 109. May another take his place of leadership. So Peter is using what he knows, his knowledge, his ability, he's relying on God to help him. And he's quoting the Bible. Let it be a directive for us. And then later on, right in the passage that I read on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has fallen on those first disciples and something extraordinary has happened to them. They're declaring the praises of God. But they realize they're declaring the praises of God in foreign languages, languages that they haven't learned. And they go out from the room where they're gathered. They go out into the city of Jerusalem and they just carry on praising God. And they're speaking. There's this list of visitors to Jerusalem, all of whom are hearing the praises of God being uttered by the disciples in their own language. And this extraordinary thing's happened. So, you know, naturally, some of those who are listening and watching what's going on, they ridicule what's happening, or they must be drunk. They've had too much wine. And Peter stands up and says, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. They haven't had time to get drunk. But this is what's happening. And what he does, he quotes from the prophet Joel. And he explains to the people the presence of God. And again, Peter, he's reflecting, he's using what he has, this humble dependence upon the Holy Spirit and Scripture. And he quotes from the prophet Joel and says, the prophet Joel said this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And so on. And so as these first disciples, as they figure out their journey, they find that Scripture is right at the heart of their experience. And later, as they announce Jesus to others, they turn to Scripture again. In chapter 2, but this time in verse 25 to 28. Peter is talking about King David and words that King David, many years beforehand, had written down. And by doing so, Peter is saying, yeah, you're experiencing, you're seeing this extraordinary experience in Jerusalem, but this is really all about Jesus. And King David, many years ago, wrote about him and predicted him. And so Peter, again, searching around and using Scripture, using what has been written down and considered sacred for many years to help guide and direct and announce Jesus to others. And we could go on, and there are all sorts of examples we could turn to, but in chapter 3, and I've listed there verses 22 and 23 and then verse 25, this is when a man has been miraculously healed. Somebody who's paralyzed from birth has been healed. And they want an explanation. How does this happen? And again, Peter speaks about Jesus. And then in verse 22, he quotes from Moses. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who doesn't listen to him will be completely cut off from his people. And then in verse 25, we have the words, God said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And what Peter is doing as he's quoting these verses, he's saying to people who don't understand, not only this is about Jesus, but you can be part of what's going on. You can begin to follow Jesus right here and right now. And so Scripture is used in all these ways. And I guess we could do a whole study all the way through the Acts of the Apostles, the ways in which these first disciples, as they began to figure out, we've not been this way before, we don't know how it works, we don't know what the answer is, and God isn't giving us all the answers that we want immediately or straight away. And so we're relying on the Holy Spirit and the Bible. We're figuring it out. And by the grace of God, we are helped to make our way forwards. And so there is that priority of focusing upon the teaching, the promises, the example of the life of Jesus. There is that humble dependence on the Holy Spirit and Scripture. And there is that finding a way forwards, using Scripture to open up new opportunities, to announce Jesus, to invite and welcome people to follow Jesus. And then just one last thing I want to put up is this. Preach the word. Preach the word. When I first came to Evesham to be minister, it was in May. We actually moved on May the 1st, 1995. That was a year or two ago. Over 27 years ago. I was 30 years old at the time. Do you remember 30? I was 30 at the time. We hadn't got any kids. And I remember looking and starting to get to know people in the church. And I figured out that 70% of the congregation were aged 70 or over. And I remember I had a very clear sense that God was calling me to be minister here. I was absolutely no doubt God had called me. And every day I would pray, and quite often, as is one of my habits, when I pray, I walk. And I can remember walking around the river in Evesham, and I was between the main bridge and well, it was Crown Meadow, walking round the river towards the, is it the foot ferry? Is that what you call it? Yeah, walking around. I was walking. And I remember just praying. I was talking to God and saying, God, what am I going to do? I'm 30 and they're old. What am I going to do? And I remember the answer came just like that. Preach the word. Preach the word. And in that moment, I was reassured. Not long later, we had a deacon's meeting. I think we had a morning together. I remember the deacons at the time, the leaders in the church, saying, I shared this with them. And said, God has said to me that I should preach the word. I remember the deacon saying, what do you want us to do? I said, I haven't got a clue. I don't know. I know what I'm doing. Maybe you need to figure that out. And I remember a year later, it was a year later, walking that same route and praying again. But saying this time, okay, God, right, for the last year I've preached the word. What do I do now? What's next? And guess what the answer was? Preach the word. So, in finding our way forwards as a church, the priorities of prayer and scripture and togetherness, I want to say that my priority for the last 27 years, has in some way or another been to preach the word. I've not always got it right. I wish I had, but I haven't. And I know I haven't always got it right, but I've tried. And I have dedicated myself to study and to research and to reflect and pray in any which way I can that I might better preach the word. Now I know that those three words, preach the word, it is actually a quote from the Bible. And it comes from 2 Timothy and chapter 4. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 begins like this: in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Preach the word. Be prepared in season when people like it and when they don't. When you say things that stroke people and the way, and when you say things that rub people up the wrong way, just keep preaching the word as best you can, dependent on the Holy Spirit. And of course, these particular verses continue. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But what is young Timothy to do? But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. I've learnt over these 27 years to hopefully better preach the word. I know that Jesus is the priority as I preach the word. There is nothing more important than to preach Jesus. The words of the Bible are not all equal, because the words of Jesus are more important. That I have learnt and I am convinced by. I've sometimes found it tough to preach the word. I was saying the other day, I've been kicked in the head so many times because I've said things that people don't want to hear. But there's been much encouragement along the way as well. And so as we find our way forwards, I will continue to preach the word. And I'm sure I'll say things that people don't like, but I hope there'll be more things that do encourage and help us. And I trust we will grow in our love of God and our desire to follow God more closely each day. So, final slide. So our priority, the teaching and promise of Jesus, humble dependence on the Holy Spirit and Scripture, finding a way forward, applying the Bible to the situations we find ourselves in, and a reminder to me, to all of us, to preach the word and to be faithful in it. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you that you do pour out your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that the words of Jesus remind us that you are a good Father and you know how to give good gifts. And one thing is certain, if we ask for your Holy Spirit, you will give your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we pray, give us your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit that we might humbly seek you and serve you. Father, thank you for the Bible. We thank you for all the riches we find in the Bible, for the life we find in it, for the food in it, for every encouragement that the Bible gives us, helping us to follow Jesus. And we pray today that as you pour your Spirit out upon us, that we might just be aware of that overarching priority to pray and to keep Scripture central in our way ahead, trusting that you will guide and help us. And we pray for ourselves as individuals, recognizing that you've been speaking to us personally this morning. Help us to respond to your word. Grant us courage to follow where you lead us. All this we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.